Hey there, I hope you're doing well today. Just wanted to take a few moments and share some scripture with you that I hope will be perhaps a great encouragement to your heart. Question for you, how is this self-isolation thing treating you? Some of the people I've talked to actually, to my surprise, express, well, you know, it's not that bad. I'm kind of a homebody. I've got all my family around me. There's a aspect of it that's kind of nice. And then I think you have other people who are basically saying, man, I am about to beat my head against the wall. I am going nuts. This is just driving me crazy. I personally would probably be a little bit more in the latter category than the first. But what this whole thing has done for me, I think it's just reminded me, and I would imagine you as well, that you are finite and stoppable. That your life can come in a lot of ways almost like to a screaming halt in a moment, that you can be contained, that you can be limited very much within time and space very quickly. This morning I woke up and was laying in bed thinking about that, and frankly even a little bit frustrated about that, and was reminded and then encouraged by the fact that while you and I are finite, we are stoppable, we are limited, and we are limitable, God and the gospel are unbound and unstoppable. And I just want to talk about that with you for a few moments here today. God is unbound and unstoppable. Let me just encourage you with this verse, Psalm 139, actually passage rather, Psalm 139, 7 to 12. You probably know it well, but I think a really awesome reminder right now. It reads as follows, where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, that's a reference most likely there to the grave, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. That passage is saying there's nowhere on the face of the earth that you could go and escape God's presence. Remember Jonah? He thought he would actually try. And yet God was there. God knew where he was at. Actually, I think got some really great news for you today, and that is that God cannot be quarantined and he's not in self-isolation. Isn't that awesome? That God today is present with you. And not just present with you, he's on the move and he's at work and he's active and involved and doing wonderful things in his creation. God is with you. He's with you wherever you're at. And he's with you in your loneliness. I was thinking about many people in our world right now who are single, and all of a sudden these expectations of self-isolation come, and maybe that's you. You're single, you go home. It's literally just you at your house. For those who perhaps are widowed, same thing. Literally just you at your house. And perhaps others in a nursing home or their spouse is in a nursing home, extremely lonely. Maybe you're a follower of Jesus Christ. There are lots of people in your house, in your home, but you're the only one who knows Jesus. And you feel very lonely, very isolated in that situation, and you very much miss the body of Christ. God is with you in your chaos as well. Some of you moms and probably even dads right now are trying to homeschool your kids. And perhaps you've got 3, 4 elementary school kids or younger, and you're trying to figure that out. And it's just chaos. It seems like this isn't even possible because everybody's in a new situation. The teachers are trying to figure things out. You're trying to figure things out. The internet doesn't work because everybody's on it. And yet God is with you in the midst of that chaos. For some of you, though you're extremely thankful to still have a job, your work has just gotten so crazy. It's like pandemonium, and many unpleasant things and realities are going on where you work right now. And others of you wish you had work. And you're sitting at home twiddling your thumbs, just wishing the snow would melt, wondering if you'll have work soon or not. God is with you in all of those situations and circumstances. And do you know who else God is with? God is with your loved ones when they go to work and when they sit in isolation and everything else. God cannot be quarantined. He's not in self-isolation. He's with you all the time, and he's there to help you. And I would just encourage you today, don't forget that. Don't forget that God is not only in the room. If you know him as your Savior, he dwells within you. And I think that it's very possible that you can go through your whole day not very cognizant of that awesome, wonderful reality, the reality of God's presence that Psalm 139 talks about. God is with you. And if he's present there with you, he's there to help you. And I think what all of us need to do right now in humility is just say, God, help me. Help me with my loneliness. Help me with my discouragement. Would you use your presence and your truth to minister to my heart? God, would you give me grace for each moment? Would you give me patience with the kids? Whatever the case may be, God is there to help. God is unbound and he is unstoppable. And not only God, but also his message. The gospel is unbound and unstoppable. I want to read to you from Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 to 14 in just a moment. But before I read that text, let me explain the context. Paul's actually in prison. He's under house arrest, and he is writing from that situation to the Philippian believers. And here's what he says in Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 to 14. He says, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. If you know much about Philippians, you may recall that the Philippians sent a man by the name of Epaphroditus to go and minister to Paul in this time of difficulty, this time where he's under house arrest, chained to a Roman guard. And no doubt the Philippians were concerned about Paul's well-being as a prisoner in Rome. I mean, you think like your self-isolation thing stinks. Like Paul is like seriously in isolation. And yet as the Philippians would ask him about that and express their concern, Paul essentially relates none of the details of the challenges that he's facing. It's incredible. The only thing on Paul's mind was Christ and the gospel. One commentator writes this about the passage that I just read. He says, in one deft sentence, Paul shifts the legitimate interest of the Philippians from himself to the great undeterred purposes of God in history. Paul told the Philippians there at the end of verse 12 that the difficulties that he was facing have really, in all actuality, served to advance, to further the gospel. Paul's saying, yeah, like, I'm chained to a Roman guard, but God's at work. And I guarantee you that right now in our situation that God is advancing the gospel in our situation too. I think it'll be very awesome as the weeks unfold to see just exactly how God has done that and is doing that. Do you believe that? That God is using challenging situations to advance the gospel? Paul wanted the Philippians to grasp this. And a couple of realities he really wanted them to catch. And one was that challenges actually create contact with the lost. It's challenges just like the one that we're in that open up gospel opportunities. They create points of contact. Or if those points of contact are already there, they expand those. Both Paul and the Philippians were suffering affliction for the gospel. And God often uses those very trials and difficulties in our lives to bring the gospel, to take the gospel, to drive the gospel to places it wouldn't otherwise go. Trials often create associations that expose people to the gospel who otherwise wouldn't hear it, or plain and simply, they just wouldn't even be interested. They wouldn't even give it the time of day. And Paul explains in his situation in the passage that I read how that was working out. He mentions the Praetorian Guard. According to verse 13, the gospel had spread in Rome, he says, to the whole imperial guard. Another commentator writes here that the whole Praetorian Guard consisted of 9 cohorts of 1,000 men each. I think that commentator was quoting from a man named Tacitus. And then he goes on to say, the watch over the prisoners was entrusted to the guard, who took over the duty by turns and alternately. So you got 9,000 men that are part of this Praetorian Guard. And while Paul's there under house arrest, he would have interacted with Roman guard after Roman guard. 24/7, he was chained to a guard. And every 4 to 6 hours, the shift would change. And he'd be shackled to a different guard. And a new soldier would appear. And Paul's no doubt sharing truth, sharing the gospel, telling these men about Jesus. And next thing you know, word's spreading to these thousands of soldiers, this gospel message. It also went to Roman officials. While in Rome, Paul stood before the Roman tribunal. In all actuality, I don't think it was Paul that was on trial. What was on trial was actually the gospel itself. Another writer says, the divine gospel itself and its Messiah Christ were before the supreme court of the world through Paul's difficulty. Paul's trial in Rome before the tribunal would have advanced the gospel, not heard it. As an army marching forward, the gospel charged on, and I'm reminded right now that that's precisely what the gospel is doing all around the world. It is charging on, it is marching forward as a mighty army in the sovereignty and the grand scheme and plan of God through a difficulty, through a challenge. The gospel also, in Paul's circumstance, made it to Rome in verse 13. If you were to look at that verse, he says it didn't just go to the Praetorian Guard, he says to all the rest. That could actually be a reference to Rome itself, that the people of Rome were talking about Paul. He was a big news item, as well as his gospel message. I'm convinced that God wants to use the coronavirus to advance the gospel, and he wants to use you, and he wants to use me to be part of that. And some of you have lost people right now who are contacting you. And they're more open than ever before to chat. Maybe they're even asking you questions. And in the middle of your chaos, it seems overwhelming. Like, oh, I don't know if I have time for this. Like, I get, like, these people take time. And yet, God wants you to take advantage of that. Paul wasn't sitting in Rome telling the Philippians, or sitting in prison under house arrest telling the Philippians how awful his life was, chained to a guard. He said, this is my mission. This is why I'm here on earth, to advance this message for the glory of God. Don't lose that big picture. I would encourage you, pray for opportunities yourself with people. And seize the day. This is a huge opportunity that we have before us to tactfully share the gospel with other people. And some of you would just say, man, I'm hardly in contact with anybody right now, fewer than normal. Pray for opportunities, but don't forget to pray for your brothers who seem to have those opportunities right now. I guarantee you, if you're a part of our church, there are people in our church who are having awesome opportunities right now, and you could support that by praying for them, that God would give them tact and wisdom and boldness as they share the gospel with their friends and loved ones. Challenges create contact with the lost. Paul also wanted these people to understand that challenges actually often impart courage to those who are saved. Not only did the gospel fall upon the ears of the lost, it also began to resonate from the lips of believers. When we witness other people obeying and following Christ, we're encouraged and challenged to do the same thing. And that's exactly what happened to the people around Paul. They saw a man in trial, a man in difficulty, not focused on his circumstance, but on the mission. And he proved to be a great leader in that situation, and a great model and a great example. And people started to follow that example. And that's what's going on there in verse 14. He says, and most of the believers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Another guy writes, the chains that bound Paul liberated others to speak the word of God fearlessly. You realize that what you do in your difficult circumstance, how you respond to that, how bold you are or are not with the gospel, has the potential to drastically impact and influence others. You can actually, by being bold with the gospel, by being faithful encourage other people to do the very same thing. In the case of the Philippians, God was on the move doing powerful things with this gospel of his. Don't be afraid. Be tactful, but bold. God and the gospel are unbound and unstoppable. And I hope today, no matter what your situation is, that that encourages your heart and challenges you, comforts you, helps you as you seek to follow the Lord and glorify him and magnify him and lift high the name of Jesus. So God bless, and I hope you'll have a wonderful day.